Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for the week of October 23rd. It's soggy nationwide, at least I think it is. And sloshing through it with me is Jim Allen. How you doing, buddy?
I'm done sloshing for the evening, but I appreciate the sentiment. You know, sort of a little camaraderie going through the rain and muck together.
Yeah, it's, my feet are still wet. I can't get them dry. It's been raining every single day, and nobody knows that better than the Hiroshima Carp and the Yokohama Bay Stars, I'm sure.
Especially the Bay Stars, indeed.
All right, well, this series, the CLCS games have been washed out for two consecutive days, and there's a typhoon headed this way, and it's supposed to be a super-duper rain fest in the middle part of Japan, but perhaps not near Hiroshima. We will see, but
yeah, Monday night's game is supposed to be played.
Yep, so 6 o'clock at Mazda Stadium. So we will see how that goes. Anyway, we don't have any interviews. We're going to just talk about the playoff games and the climax series in both leagues, and then we'll try to forecast Japan's Fall Classic. I hope it doesn't call for rain in the forecast. Anyway, let's get started.
Clearing the bases.
All right, so we're going to start with the Pacific League, and we're going to start with Game 3 of the first round of the playoffs, and that was the Eagles shocking the Lions 5-2 on Monday, and that would have been October 16th at MetLife Dome, and they reached the second round of the PLCS. Zealous Wheeler broke out with three hits, including an infield RBI single in the first inning, and then he singled and scored in the fourth, and then hit a big solo home run in the eighth inning, and they scored three runs in that inning, so that pretty much put the end of that. And I asked you if you were superstitious, because obviously the Lions were a little bit superstitious in using those red jerseys that shall burn forever, because they didn't work in the postseason. So don't bust them out again, people.
Yeah, maybe that'll be the end of the lucky red jerseys.
That's enough of that, especially when you're playing a team with red. Anyway, I was a little bit surprised. Of course, I was happy. I like the Eagles. They're the team I root for in the Pacific League, basically. Anything shock you about this whole thing, the way things went down? I was pretty impressed with the way they finished that series off after losing that first game.
Yeah, well, after a few innings, after Takahiro Norimoto was gone, the Eagles' pitching was pretty good. That's the weird thing.
No
once
offense.
He was out of the picture, once he was out of the picture, everything was pretty good.
With all due respect, yes.
With all due respect, he did not have a good outing. He was, and then from then on, the Eagles pitching was good. The bullpen was solid. We saw Sung Cha Hao make his basically announce himself to NPB with some pretty solid pitching.
Right, yes.
And
the reliever
What I saw. And to me, the Eagles looked, although Carlos Puguero was halted by injury this week, stiff back, I think.
The Eagles looked, I read a report that it was a leg. So,
it was a leg.
Yeah, when I saw him, I just didn't like what he was doing. I didn't know if he was tired. I said tired because he really wasn't moving very quickly or very well. But I guess
he
it was
does
an injury,
move well.
So, yeah.
Yeah, he's not a good outfielder, but he runs well.
And he throws well. He throws really well.
Yeah. Right. So, but other than that, they looked very much like the Rock 10 Eagles of the beginning of the season, and by that I meant alert on the bases. Zealous Wheeler scored from second base on a wild pitch.
Yeah, that was wild and crazy. Yep.
So lots of, exploitative, really eager, pushing their opponents to make mistakes and then exploiting them. So I really enjoyed watching that. And I think that was really, and the Lions did not, their offense didn't show up. They didn't, they looked, they didn't, were not able to get good swings on a lot of pitches, and that really killed them. Of course, they also had some bad luck. They had some of that Eagles bad luck that haunted them in the second half of the season. good hitting situation. I think it was against Takayuki Kishi in game two. A good run scoring situation, and they hit a bullet to shortstop or to third base. I don't recall which it was, but there was a lot of those bowls where the Lions did not have good luck. But the Eagles were also exploiting opportunities. So they certainly played better.
It was a really good season for the Lions. They finished second, and I really expected them to go on and face the Hawks in the second round. But just because they didn't doesn't really put a damper on things for me, because I think they really did well, and I think they had some breakout situations. I just didn't, I think when it came down to it, they didn't have the kind of pitching that they probably expected to go out with. I don't think Ken Togami and Ryoma Nogami were the guys they really would have preferred to have on the mound at that time. I think they would have preferred to have guys with a little bit better stuff. You figure you know what Nogami is going to give you, which is, you know, some hard hit balls here and there, but mostly some outs. And he really didn't do very well in that game. And he came out in the fourth inning, only gave up two runs, but it just didn't seem like he had what he needed to get guys out consistently that night. And they had to go to the bullpen early. But, I mean, give the credit to the Eagles. They really played well. They seemed to wake up. And like you said, playing like they played earlier in the season, just, you know, when you said that, I thought about how they were hitting well. They were hitting well at the top of the lineup. The top was really producing. Guys were getting on base and putting a lot of pressure on pitchers. And then they had power-hitting guys in the middle of the lineup who were hitting for power, except for Zelis. He didn't have a great start. But the other guys were producing around them, so it didn't matter. And that's what I thought you were going to say. So, yeah, being alert on, you know, that second base, that scoring from second base with Zelis Wheeler, that was all good. And I'm glad they moved on. And we had another game the following day in the CLCS Game 3, because they got rained out and had to get pushed to Tuesday the 17th. Mm-hmm. And the Bay Stars end up winning that series with a 6-1 victory over the Tigers. Atsushi Nomi, the starter for the Tigers, I didn't think he was pitching poorly or had poor stuff. He just wasn't getting guys out. He didn't have bad stuff to me. It just looked like they knew what was coming, and when he couldn't place it exactly where he wanted to, they punished it. But he wasn't throwing the ball right down the middle. A couple pitches were up and to the left-handed guys were up and in, and they still hit them. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think it
was. They were seeing him very, that's what it looked like to me. They were getting sort of absurdly good swings on decent pitches.
Yeah. So he gives up three runs early on. He only got one out.
Yep.
They had to take him off the mound, and I don't know. They got out of trouble, but then they brought in Suguru Iwasaki, which I thought was kind of weird. I would have thought they would have gone to someone who just has a little bit more experience and has had a little bit more success.
And you mean in the fifth inning?
In the fifth inning, by the time they brought him on in the fifth inning,
because
he's the next pitcher who gave up runs, and he gave up three runs. And it just didn't turn out to be a good decision or a good outcome. I don't know which one. I'm not going to say for sure it was a decision, but because these things, we all sitting in our watching our TVs or watching from the press box, we all second guess sometimes immediately, sometimes afterwards. But
we don't all second guess. You always second guess.
I shouldn't speak for everyone, but I'm sure you have your opinions about what guys should do. I've heard
a lot. Yeah, I have my moments, but it's not always.
Oh, they're just moments, huh? Okay, all right, gotcha.
Well, I mean, but you know, we do it to greater and lesser degrees.
Right, right.
We're not all you, John.
Well, I'm projecting. I'm projecting on the things I see on Twitter. It's not me.
Well, there are plenty of those, certainly, yes.
Yeah,
I'm not more of the... Yeah, okay.
Specifically, I'm not talking about myself.
Okay.
But, yeah, I just didn't seem like the greatest pitching decision to me, but you know, I always say these managers know their players better than we do. We just think we know them better. So
we think we know. Speak for yourself again.
Okay, yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
I'm joking. I'm sorry, of course,
I can speak for you on that one. No. I know. For the Bay Stars, Joe Whelan, who was 2-0 with a shutout at Koshien this year.
Mm.
He was just in control of his game, and he was really good for them. And he gets the win. And to me, I was wondering when Alex Ramirez, the skipper of the Bay Stars, was going to take him out of the game. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was going to be after the sixth inning. And he let him go out and pitch in the seventh inning. And I was concerned that the decision was half based on worries about the bullpen and half made on the fact that Joe was pitching well. But I mean, I'd have to talk to Alex and I don't know if he'd tell us that, you know, I got to be honest, because I don't think he would say anything about his player.
Right.
If he were actually concerned about,
he would, what he would do is say, this was my thinking beforehand. You know, he would say, like, I had those things in mind, you know, how was the pitcher doing, and, you know, and who was in good, maybe something, who was in good form in the bullpen and how much work they had already done. And but they had a day off, you know, they both teams emptied the bullpen in the rain on Sunday.
Right, the Mudfield game.
In Sunday's yes, right, no joy in Mudfield game. Thanks for that one.
Yeah, thank you, West Bay, for that.
Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, that's what he'll say, but again, I'm just speculating, and it has no basis in fact. Or
right, so Joe had given up the run in the sixth inning, and he seemingly barely got out of that inning, and I was thinking, okay, he might be coming out, and then he comes out in the seventh, and he gets the first two guys out, and then gives up a hit to a pinch hitter. And I thought, okay, well, this might be it, but they let him stay in, and he gets that third out, and then they went to the bullpen. And everything turned out really nicely. He doesn't strike out guys a lot anyway, but he struck out three that night. So, you know,
Joe scattered seven hits.
Yeah, it was a nice outing, and they added on those runs late. I'm sorry, in the fourth inning, and they just worked them. And I think they kind of took the souls out of the Tigers. The Tigers didn't really seem to have anything going after the sixth inning.
Well, that's kind of a spiritual way of looking at it. I think for me, the interesting thing of the series was the Bay Stars growing. You know, I didn't pick them to finish in the top three this year. I didn't think they had really the talent to compete with the Giants.
I did not either. I had them finish in fourth. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, but I did believe in Alex Ramirez's ability to get the most out of his players. And I also noticed, you know, last year at Tokyo Dome, the Bay Stars came in as the third place team, and they beat the Giants 2 out of 3.
Right.
But a lot of that was based on Alex Ramirez's managing, in that Yoshinobu Takahashi was a rookie manager and really was a little bit lost. Was more lost last year than he was this year.
Mm-hmm.
And some things that Alex indicated to me that he was able to exploit in that last game, where he felt that if Hara had been managing the Giants, they probably would not have had the opportunity. Mm-hmm. And the other thing was that at Tokyo Dome, about more than half the crowd were Bay Stars fans.
Right.
Last year. And here it was the typical, you know, two sections of visiting fans in the outfield for the base. I mean, you saw a few blue shirts here and there, but it wasn't like a home crowd atmosphere like the Bay Stars had going for them last year.
Yep.
And so they looked like they'd grown up a bit.
Yep. And the catcher he put in that night, Hiroki Mine, had had an RBI hit in the first inning, and then had a good defensive play later in the game. So I mean, you know, you push the right buttons, and as far as that goes.
I mean, how about that? I mean, here's the thing is that, you know, last year it was Yasutaka Tobashira.
Right.
And basically, he was the guy, and he really didn't trust the other catchers to do that much because he was so much better. But this year, he's, you know, the other guys have really played catch up, and I pardon the pun, but they've really made huge strides. The other guys have. So that, and Alex has given a lot of playing time to Taka Joe and Mine and in the postseason as well. You know, he doesn't seem to have, he is really, you know, the one, I believe in my guys. He believes in his guys.
You could see it. Yeah, he'll put him out there. And I'm like, whoa. Sometimes I'm
yeah, exactly.
Like,
as soon as I hear Taka Joe is starting, I'm going like, is the announcer on drugs, you know? But
somebody can't read. Somebody,
yeah, exactly.
You got a relative of a player up there, and the announcer's trying to get all their friends and family on the team.
Because that doesn't happen overnight. You know, that's something that happens over the course of a season and the course of a year where, you know, the players grow, and credit to their wonderful battery coach and their coaching staff. So, yeah, good. Obviously, that goes in ties in with what I was ties in with my sense of how the Bay Stars have grown up quite a bit in the past year.
Right. So then they move on to the second stage and they play game one against
the following day.
The following day against the Hiroshima Carpet Mazda Stadium, and mm-hmm. This game generated a lot of chatter on Twitter. It ended up being a 3-0 game. It was called after 5 innings and about an hour or so of waiting for the rain to stop, and it just didn't stop, and it was the first called game in Climax Series history.
It was an hour and 37-minute game, and then they suspended it.
Oh, game.
No, the rain delay. Well, the game was delayed. The start was delayed.
Okay, yeah,
The game lasted an hour and 37 minutes, and then they had a 30-plus-minute rain delay. While the umpires stood there and argued and looked at the rain. So, it was. Anyway, so it did unleash kind of a wet, soggy Twitter storm.
Right. And, you know, there were a couple things that stood out for me about this game. One was I wasn't sure. It ended up being 3-0. The Carp scored 5 runs in the bottom of the 5th inning. And that's when the umpires decided to scramble around and discuss the rain that was falling. But the thing that stuck out for me was Alex Ramirez, again, in the 5th inning, his starter, Kenta Ishida, hadn't given up a hit. And then he gives up, hit here and there and ends up with walking the bases. Alex decides to walk the bases loaded with one out to get to the pitcher.
Mm.
And they got him out.
But they struck him out. They didn't get a double play.
Right. They struck him out. Yeah. And then they go to Kosuke Tanaka, who's a pretty good hitting shortstop, the leadoff man who can hit left-handed pitchers. And Ishida is a left-handed pitcher. And I just thought it was too much of a gamble, even if it weren't raining. But even in the rain, you know, no play is a sure play. I just didn't like him walking. I mean, it's a big gamble. I mean, he took the gamble. I'm sure he told his players afterward, hey, this is on me. Because I just wouldn't have put the extra guys on there. But it doesn't matter if you lose by 1 run or by 3. They ended up losing by 3 because with the bases loaded, Tanaka gets a single, knocks in 2, and the next guy up gets a single and knocks in another run. But it doesn't matter because they didn't get another chance to bat, and that was it anyway. So if they were going to lose, they were going to lose by 1 or by 2 or by 3. It really didn't matter.
Now, what's your take on the controversy?
The controversy of the game being called by rain, I think it's a rule that has, I mean, I know it's a rule that's been out there for a long time. I don't think it could be avoided. It's just too bad. These things happen. If you have an outdoor stadium, there is always the possibility that this could happen. And as disappointing as it is, it wasn't a tie. I think if they would have called it a 0-0 tie, I probably would have been angry. But the Carp took the lead, and everybody knows if you're leading after the 5th inning, the game has the possibility of being called. I was totally fine with it.
Unless you're playing a Koshian.
And you have now to get that game in so that you can get to the next series.
Well, no. So here's the thing. Now, in Koshien on Sunday, October 15th, it was no score through 4. It was essentially an identical game. And then they didn't But the problem was they couldn't call it before it was an official game, because calling it before it was an official game would have handed the series to the Tigers because of NPB's absurd rules that give all tied series to the home team, basically. Right. Yes, the home team. So with no games, with only one more game scheduled, the Bay Stars would be unable to win two to clinch the series. So they had to play five innings. And then what happened was the Bay Stars, so it was basically a 2-2 tie through four innings. And then so they couldn't, after four, and it was really raining hard and the field was a mess, and they normally would have called the game, but they said we couldn't call it because a tie game or no game would hand the series to the Tigers because they expected rain on Monday. They knew it was going to rain on Monday, so they knew there was going to be no chance to get two more games in.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't call it before it was official. Okay, now here's the thing. The Bay Stars score two runs in the top of the fifth, and after five innings, the rain's let up a little bit, but it was still ugly.
Right.
And they still basically did what they didn't do. They did for the Tigers what they wouldn't do for the Bay Stars in Hiroshima, which was give them a chance to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
The Bay Stars were leading 4-3 after five innings. And they kept playing in the slop and the rain and the mud, much worse than it was in Hiroshima because the field's not as good. And they allowed they basically played the game to allow the Tigers to catch up.
Which
but
they
in Hiroshima,
yeah.
Right. Well, no, they did. It was 4-4 after six innings, but then the Bay Stars took the lead for good, and they still kept going with the game. You know, it was sort of like they made one bad decision on top of another. So we made a bad decision in their favor, so now if we make a bad decision the other way, everyone's going to criticize us, so let's just keep making more bad decisions.
Right. Well, let's stick with that first bad decision. Just keep going. Just ignore that one.
Yeah. Exactly. So the controversy was why did the Tigers get a chance to come back in that game and the Bay Stars did not? The Bay Stars, you know, whatever it is, those are the rules. And obviously the reason is that the impact of one win in a six-game series is not as big as one game in a three-game series.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so that was essentially the decision. But I know there are people who seem to think, you know, that certain teams run the Central League, and one of our listeners indeed believes the Carp have a lot more sway than the Tigers, and he's completely wrong about that. But he's a Tigers fan, so you know, of course, you believe that the other teams have all gotten advantage over you.
Yeah,
but anybody who thinks the Carp have more political pull than the Tigers really needs to, you know, just kind of get over it, because compared to the Giants and the Tigers,
farther than the truth.
Compared to the Tigers and the Giants, you know, it really doesn't matter what the Bay Stars and Carp want.
That's as far away from the truth as Hiroshima is away from Tokyo.
I'm not certain we can measure the truth in kilometers, but yeah. But anyway, that's the point. I it's in a fan's emotion, and I understand that.
Yeah.
So that was the big controversy, and the people from the Central League, Mr. Kinifuchi, came out and said, Koshien was worse, but we had to play. Here we didn't, so we didn't. And then he said, well, you got to go with what the umpire said.
Yeah.
I thought I was surprised they called it in Hiroshima, because Mr. Sasaki, the home plate umpire, loves his strikeouts because he's got you know, he likes to do his guts pose, strike calls, and he used to do a little moonwalk for strikeout calls. He likes his flashy punch outs,
yeah.
And I figured he had a few more in him that night, but I guess he didn't.
He was ready to rock.
He's always ready to rock. He moves well for a guy our age.
Yeah. All right, so then that made the series 2-0 for the
right.
Carp, because they start with the one win advantage. And so we go to game two on the field, and that's mm-hmm. the Bay Stars came out and won that one. And for me, it was all about Haruhiro Hamaguchi, the rookie lefty, Not mm-hmm. only was he poised, but he was really keeping the guys, the batters off balance. And I was listening on radio, which I love to do. Sachio Kinugasa was doing the color commentary, and he expressed frustration with Hamaguchi because he said he wasn't using his fastball enough, or he should be using more finesse pitches, one or the other. And he made this weird analogy, saying you never hear about a power hitter who's called, what he said in Japanese would be the equivalent of a medium range hitter. You know, he said you either have a power pitcher or you have a finesse pitcher. You don't have guys who can throw as hard as Hamaguchi, but who choose to throw a lot more off-speed pitches and breaking pitches. You're either a power pitcher or you're a finesse pitcher.
Sure, you do.
And I'm like, what? You know, and I said, why wouldn't you want to keep guys as off-balance as you can? And that's what he was doing to get through. And here's another situation where Alex really showed either a lot of patience or a lot of trust. But he left this kid out there in this game. And I was just thinking, I kept thinking, they're going to take him out. It's got to be soon. It's got to be sooner than later. You know, I'm always ready to panic. You know me.
Yeah, pretty much.
Don't get me anywhere near the button. I'll push it.
That's why I have, you know, when my ex-wife and I had a rabbit, you know, we rabbit-proofed our house, you know, covered up all the wires. And whenever I'm around John, I make sure there are no red, shiny red buttons anywhere near. Because push it. Exactly.
So Hamaguchi ends up throwing 7 innings, 128 pitches. He scattered 7 hits and a walk, and he struck out 6 along the way, only gave up 2 runs. When you look at it that way, it was a really impressive outing, but he did have his issues. He did have base runners out there. He had multiple runners on in the sixth inning.
But one of the things he was doing is that normally, I think when you worry about Hamaguchi, it's when he's got really bad, he can't throw strikes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he was hitting some spots.
Yeah, I know. See, that's the thing. Yeah. And I think that's what he was going for. He was just working hard. And he was making his pitches. So I think what Alex was going, probably he might have, if it were me, I was thinking, you know, this is as good as he gets. I'm gonna give him another inning.
Yeah.
And not all the hits were, you know, I haven't liked a lot of the swings I've seen from the Carps. So I'm thinking, yeah, well, I'll leave him in there. So I was thinking that way because he only walked one guy, which is pretty rare for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he was spotting. He was hitting some locations, and sometimes either it was a combination of not the greatest execution of a pitch or just maybe a bad sequence. But and guys were waiting for the pitch that he threw, and even though he threw it well, it ended up getting hit. Like I said, if you throw the ball over the plate, sometimes these guys are really good. They're going to hit it. But he got Spencer Patton out there, and then the guy I've been calling Chubbs, Yamasaki, Yasuaki, the Komajin, Yamasaki finished up. So it was a really good pitching performance from the Bay Stars. The batting champ, Toshiro Miyazaki, has 3 hits. He gets 3 RBIs, including a solo home run and the 9th to pad the lead. J-Lo, the people's MVP. He had 3 hits. It was a really nice recovery after that rainout loss. I liked what I saw that night.
Yeah, I'm with you. So I thought, and this is where I'm thinking, you know, the Carp are getting some hits, but they're not getting great swings. They don't look like they're executing great game plans. And here's another thing is you've got Alex Ramirez is pretty much, he's although in this game he didn't. In this game, he had a real hitter batting second, but he's been, you know, he's been going low and slow. He's been going small ball. You know, some of these teams are trying to see how many bunts they're trying to win by the number of bunts. And this game wasn't one, but we've seen it.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are some times where I think, and you can hear the announcers talking about it as well. Is this a time that Ramirez is going to bunt and move that runner over? And you know, sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. I think he's playing, you know, matchups and guys who can control the bet, maybe hit through the hole on the right side, maybe go the other way, hit behind the runner, do something. I think he's, you know, he's not willing to give up that
out. Well, in that game, to be fair, he only had one leadoff hitter on base, so.
Well, you know, in Japan, they don't, you know, a one-out single, that's cause for a bunt.
It can be if your name's Kobayashi.
Yeah. So then the next night, with this series, they're still down 2-1. The Bay Stars come out, and it's Shoichi Ino, another guy I've been railing on this year in the second half of the, well, ever since the All-Star break. And he pitches another good game. He pitched well in the first round of the playoffs, and he pitches another good game. Mm. And he's sailing along, and he obviously hadn't given up any runs. They end up winning the game 1-0.
And he drove in the run.
Now, he threw five and a third shutout innings, and he singled in the second inning to knock home the run. And this was a pitch that was right down the middle. It was against Chris Johnson. It was a very hittable pitch, but it was outstanding placement.
Yeah.
Right over second and in front of a drawn-in outfield. It was a perfectly hit ball. I mean, if he doesn't hit, I mean, you know, normally pitchers don't hit the ball like that. If they hit some little looping blooper, the guys would be able to run out and catch it, or either the outfielders would have been able to come in and catch it. But he hit it on a line, and it was really nice. And that was it. That's all the scoring. The biggest thing in this game for me was that Spencer Patton had one of his best outings, I thought, in Japan in the eighth inning. He was hitting his spots. And this is when we talked to him on the show and had him on earlier this season. He talked about, you know, not always being able to hit those spots. And whenever he missed, guys seemed to be taking advantage of it. Well, he didn't give him a chance. He was really on his game. And then young Chubbs Yamasaki again did really well, fanning two in a 1-2-3 inning. And I think that was his best effort in recent memory for me. I hadn't seen him throw that well. So it was very impressive for the Stars to win this game 1-0.
It was good. Another thing I liked is, he's got funny numbers. He's not going to blow you away with his stats, but yep, I just Yamasaki? Love what, no, Edwin Escobar.
Edwin, oh yes, yes.
He has been really, he's been really useful.
He's been really good, and I just think, and he wouldn't tell me. I don't know why he didn't look like this with the Fighters, but he was not throwing his fastball this way when he was with the Fighters, and he has just let.
Yeah, he looks confident. He looks really confident, yeah, and very happy. And I haven't talked to him in about a month, so I can't say. But I have to say, I don't have favorites. I really like one player who I can't name because he said not to say it. Said, you know, the two teams I really like in the Central League are the Carp and the Bay Stars because I like, you know, I like the way they play, and. And I do like, I have friends on, you know, I don't have friends, but I'm friendly with a lot of the players on both of these teams. And I really am, I'm going to be happy either one that qualifies. I'm just looking forward to another couple of good games.
Right. And so then game four was supposed to be on Saturday. It was rained out. Game four was supposed to be played on Sunday, again, rained out. So we're hoping, depending on when you're listening to the show, that it'll be played later today.
That's right. The series is currently tied 2-2 because the Carp ended with a win, and they have, as I said earlier, they have makeup days available on Tuesday and Wednesday, so they can conceivably, if there are no further rain interruptions, it can go to six games. However, if it can only go to five games. Or four games, the team with the lead will advance to the Japan Series.
Mm. And if it ends up tied,
the Hiroshima Carp will advance to the Japan series.
Hiroshima Carp will advance. So hopefully the rain will go away and we can see this decided on the field and not just
that would be nice
to go with
or not
that
by
rain.
The umpires deciding whether or not to call the
right,
game.
Right, right. Not by a shortened series that matches the shortened game that started this series. So hopefully they get to play it out. All right, let's take a look at the PLCS, the second round there. And I think it was you who dubbed this New Jack City. So we were on Twitter.
Well, we should, you know, actually, you know, we should because before we taped the show, I was talking about trying to patch my my database, my season-ending analytics together after remodeling my database all season, and I'm sort of like rewiring files to make sure the fields are all connect properly and it works. And I was really shocked this year by about Yafuoka Dome. It was like home run heaven. It has been, but it was extreme this year.
Yeah, I have to go and look up the number of Terrace home runs again. I found a site that has it, so I'll have to look it up. We had 5 solo jacks in this game, and it was a 3-2 win for the Eagles. Eigoro Mogi hit a leadoff shot. Yafet Amador, he went out in the second, and our buddy Zealous mm-hmm. Wheeler in the fourth. And those mm-hmm. 3 solo home runs proved to be the difference. Yuhei Takanashi relieved Frank Herman and cleaned up a mess in the 7th inning. And Yuki Matsui allowed a Seiichi Uchikawa bases empty solo home run in the 9th. But that was it. So the thing that stood out for me in this game was all these solo home runs. It just seemed kind of weird that we had all these, and somebody made light of it on Twitter that they all went into the original.
Yep.
They went over the original fence, not into the home run terrace.
They went over the permanent outfield wall
permanent
and not
outfield
to the
wall. Right. Well, the original
field
wall.
Seats.
Yeah.
The field seats they've erected in right and left.
Yeah. No cheapies.
Indeed.
Yeah.
No more cheapies. Yes.
So that was a good start. And then game 2, Rakuten wins. Oh, I wanted to mention that Shiomi, you said Takahiro.
Hiro Shiomi.
Shiomi, a guy I really liked when he was a rookie and mm-hmm. even wanted to make him the rookie of the year. He was my pick for rookie of the year that year. But then he just really hasn't been very good for them, very consistent over the years. Mm. And he had a really good showing that night.
He did. He was hitting his spots, and that was the thing. He was working really well, and he had his he was executing. And this is the thing that the Eagles starters really since the middle of the game in game one, and well, I should say since the game two in Cebu, they were just executing their pitches.
So, yeah, Shiomi throws 6 innings. He allows 4 hits, no walks, struck out 6, mm-hmm. Allowed the 1 run. And obviously that came on a home run because they were all on home runs. So it was a really good job by him. And the bullpen did a good job as well after Frank Herman kind of made a mess. But Takanashi came on and helped him get out of that. And then the other 2 guys did well. So then the next night, game 2 ends up being a 2-1 victory for the Eagles, and a lot seemed to happen in this game that didn't have a lot of scoring.
The Eagles were unfortunate only to score 2 runs in this game, considering how many guys they had on base.
Yeah, they did have. They got. How did they score that? Did they score an error? It was a hit and an error for Keizo Kawashima. So, in the first inning, Ginji Akaminai hits a ball to right field. And it looks like just a single. And, you know, you had Kazuya Fujita, who had walked, was on base. And the ball had some weird spin and takes a bounce and goes over the head of Keizo Kawashima to the wall. And Fujita scores the first run of the game. Now, I was sitting there thinking, why in the world is Kawashima out there when you have perfectly good outfielders who can play? This guy's an infielder.
Yeah, he's a utility infielder his whole career.
At heart, yeah, at heart. I mean, he's an infielder by trade. Why is he out there? What is Kimiyasu Kudo, the manager of the Hawks, doing? this was kind of a needless run that you've given away. And these are playoff games. They're hard to get runs sometimes. What are you doing? And luckily, Hawks starter Kodai Senga was, you know, he was really good and he brushed it off. I think he was feeling the same way. As he probably wanted to shake his head. What in the world is going on out there? This is just a single, for God's sakes. Sometimes those errors are fatal, and it didn't, you know, it turned out not to be fatal in this series because the Hawks won today. So we'll be talking about that game a little bit later. But I thought it was unnecessary. And after that, we didn't see Kawashima out there in the outfield anymore. And in fact, he began to put, he essentially began to leave it to the professionals. He put guys
Well,
up
there was the thing. They're now they're losing 2-1. They're losing 2 games to 1. And
right.
And some interesting things start to happen.
Because they hadn't won a game. That one was the one that they came into the series with.
Right. Now, this is the game, the second game that Sung wins in relief for the Eagles. They get a good start from Wataru, a really good start from Wataru Karashima. 1 run in 5 1/3 innings. Sung comes on and he's good. Everybody's pretty good. But the Eagles are not, the Hawks are not executing. Their offense is misfiring. They had some chances. They couldn't capitalize. They had some bad at-bats. They had some bad, I mean, just, they had a chance in the sixth inning to tie it, but to take the lead, and Akira Nakamura blows a bunt. And, you know, it's like everything, it's sort of like starting from Kudo. Everybody's making mistakes. Senga was really the bright spot there, although they got another, you know, they got another, one of the pieces they've been missing at the end of the season, Levon Moinello, the Cuban lefty, came back to action. So that was good. So, you know, it's not looking really desperate, but it's looking ugly.
Right.
And then we get to game three and we get a different look with the Hawks. We get, you know, the interesting one here is from out of nowhere, you know, Kudo had Kawashima playing in the outfield today, says, hey, who's that, you know, hold on a second. Look, didn't we have this guy that nobody remembers his name who was like the MVP of interleague play a year ago, and he didn't do anything before or after, and he's never done anything else, but he's really a scrappy, cheerful guy who's like picks everybody up and he's smiling all the time and he hustles. Let's use that guy. What's his name again? And it's Ryoma Kidokoro.
Right.
And let's put him in center field. And he really sparked that team.
He played well.
And having Takahiro Norimoto on the mound again.
Yeah, he hadn't been good. I was having a Twitter debate about it with Jason Koskri of the Japan Times, and I just said he just hasn't been himself. Probably, for me, it was right after he finished setting that strikeout record where he had 8 games with consecutive double-digit strikeouts, and since that time he really hasn't been great, and it didn't seem like he was himself. But, we have differing opinions about it. I wanted to see the guy who was dominating and winning, helping the team win games. And what we were seeing was a guy whose ERA was on the high side, who wasn't shutting guys down, wasn't shutting teams down. He was allowing runs and costing the team a chance to win games. So, then we have game three and the Hawks. Now after this game, apparently, and this is what I wanted to talk about, because today after the Hawks wrapped up the second stage of the PLCS, Kudo was in the post-game on-field interview, and he said that it seemed to me that he mixed up the meaning of win probability and then chance to win, because he said basically after they had lost the first two games that he said that they had zero chance of winning. They were told they had zero chance of winning the series. But that's not the case. What the report that I heard was that no team had lost the first two games of the second round of the the Climax series and gone on to the Japan series.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he, I don't know, I mean, for me, it's,
well, that counts.
Not win probability.
No, but that's not the actual probability, but that's what passes for probability in Japanese sports newspapers.
Yeah. So
I'm not kidding.
Well, no, nobody, I'm thinking nobody told you had zero chance of winning. That's ludicrous.
No. Well, no, exactly, but that's what they say. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, and this was a game that, although as bad as Norimoto started, the Hawks got a horrible start from Tsuyoshi Wada. I mean, he just looked like, again, he was locating his pitches. He looked exactly like, what is it about lefties in this postseason? He looked exactly like a Tsushinomi. He was locating his pitches, but they were waiting. They were sitting on him and putting him on a tee.
Yeah, yeah. So suffice to say, Norimoto wasn't sharp. Wada wasn't sharp. It was a 5-5 game when Akira Nakamura, a proven playoff performer who the Tigers fans probably remember because he hit this very memorable
proven playoff performer. That's an interesting one because basically he's a proven performer. Who had one big at bat in the 2014 Japan Series?
Now, he had one memorable home run, but he's consistently a good playoff performer in my mind.
No.
Maybe it's because he has big hits in the playoffs.
He had one big hit.
He had one home run, but he just seems
no. He's like a 163 career hitter in the postseason.
Well, you know, I want to say
with four RBIs. And they're all on home runs.
Okay. So you're telling me he's got four home runs?
He hit one meaningless. No, I'm telling you he's got four now because he hit two in this series. But he came in here with two home runs and four RBIs. One was a meaningless solo home run in the 2015 Japan Series. The other was the big three-run one. And basically no singles and no batting average. And then so he's a proven player because he had one big home run. In 2014.
All right. Well, yeah, 2014, he took Oh-San Hwang, the closer for the Tigers, deep and won a game. That was a walk-off.
Sayonara.
Yep. A walk-off shot. So he hits a now tiring Rakuten bullpen. He gets to them for a home run and a two-run shot and helps them win the game. And it was Hiroyuki Fukuyama, who has really been outstanding, I think, for the Eagles this year, was really had done a great job. But I just think they've been worked so hard, starting with the series against the Lions, and their just stuff was just starting to wear out, and so they lost that game.
Mm. Yeah, I'm with you there, and so he stepped back up into his sort of little postseason. You know, I can hit the big home run mode.
Okay. And then game four ends up being a 4-3 win for the Hawks again. More home runs. We've got Despaigne with a solo shot in the third inning that gave the Hawks a two-run lead. And then they scrambled up. The Eagles scrambled up runs in the fourth. Ginji hit a home run. And they eventually take a 3-2 lead in the fifth inning when Wheeler hits a double. And yep. They've got a lead. They look like they're in good shape to get more. Rick Vandenhert gets the hook with two outs, and then lefty Shinya Kayama rescues the inning for the Hawks. Mm. He retires Hiroaki Shimauchi, and then Shuta Ishikawa, we've talked about him on the show. Dennis Sarfate mentioned him again. He came in with a perfect inning, and then it's Seiichi Uchikawa again. He and Nakamura go back-to-back with home runs to open the sixth inning for a 4-3 lead, and basically that's the ball game because the bullpen shuts it down for the Hawks.
Okay, now at this point, I think you're going to, you know, after two straight days when Nakamura hits the tie-breaking, the tie-breaking winning home run, I think now you can say he's a proven performer, but that was my point. He had like one big hit in his career up until that two-run home run. So that was my objection. Anyway, because I was marveling at it, I'm going, wow, he looks like he's really done a lot. And I'm going, oh, 163. he really did.
That's
a
memorable hit, I tell you that.
Well, he has now. He had two of them. two of them the past 2 days. Yeah.
Yep. So then today's game, Sunday, 7-0. The Hawks just rolled through Yuki Yanagita, another player I really like. I've always liked him. He came back from an injury that had kept him out about a month. And he had two hits and an RBI and looked like he hadn't really missed a beat, except for this throw that he tried to make from center field to second base that left a lot to be desired.
Yeah, he was.
The best thing I can say about that thing.
Yeah, he was throwing it to first base. He just didn't. He thought he was throwing it to second. He threw a frisbee like kind of thing. He looked like he was doing it as he was channeling Yoshinori Tateyama through a frisbee. Right. And the thing here, I was quite busy on the desk today.
Me too.
So I didn't have a chance to do a sidebar on it. I was thinking about Yanagita, but it didn't quite get that far, and on Saturday he took I think 39 or 40 swings in the batting cage,
mm-hmm.
and he hadn't played in a month, and because he had a oblique muscle and a rib muscle, the muscles in between the ribs, mm-hmm. on the right side from a swing on September 20th. He hadn't played in a month, and he took 39 swings, and he says, "I'm not fit. I don't think I'm going to be able to play." And then here he is in the starting lineup the next day. Mind you, having said that, I think he hit, of his 39 pitches, I think he hit six of them into the seats because, the Japanese sports reporters count
have
those.
To count. They have to count. They're required to count. Don't even call at the desk if you haven't counted those pitches.
That's right. How many batting practice home runs did people hit? Oh, it's first. Okay, anyway, right. So get over that. But he sparked the team.
Yeah. He certainly did.
And they got a great, they got a really nice performance. They got a kind of starting pitching performance that the Eagles have been getting.
I was going to get to that, and I thought, I thought about it, and I thought, well, you know what? They started the series with Nao Higashihama.
Who had been hurt.
But he had a great season. He had the winningest season for them. Sure. So I think they were throwing him a bone and saying, you know what? You've done such a great job. You led us in victories. You take the first game. You deserve it. But he wasn't really an ace-level pitcher. He gave up 3 home runs that night. They lost the game.
Well, he was also basically had done, I think, one rehab start in the Phoenix League, in the instructional league, and he was probably not as fit as he needed to be.
Yeah, but whatever the reason, I think he would have been out there anyway had he been fit. I think they would have given him the first game. Now, the results are the results, but I think the reason that he got the first game wouldn't have been changed.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm surprised that they decided to use they didn't use Shuta Ishikawa as the other starter.
I was kind of surprised
because he was really he was good in I think the answer is he was rookie. Good in relief too.
rookie. Well, I think the answer is rookie. Yeah.
Okay, could be. Yeah. But he was good in relief too, and they figured, well, let's see, our bullpen's already the best in Japan, so why don't we make it better?
Right, yeah, because you need that in the playoffs. But
my thing, go ahead.
Well, this it seemed to me that because if you notice, the Eagles won with the two pitchers at the back of their rotation essentially, mm-hmm. and lost with the front line guys, Takayuki, mm-hmm. Kishi, and Norimoto. But the Hawks actually put out guys maybe middle of the rotation to start this thing off with, and then ended up going backwards with finishing with guys who like Wada and Vandenberg, mm-hmm. and another proven playoff performer in Shota Takeda today, who's had really been really good for this team in past years, in recent years in the playoffs.
Yep.
So I think they basically inverted their rotation and ended up walking away with these 3 games. That's not necessarily the reason. It just turned out that way, I thought.
I think I'll give you my take, and it's kind of interesting that, I looked at these, before the postseason started, I looked at these teams and I said, I didn't like, the Hawks rotation really struggled and flailed and, despite all the wins, they were not that impressive this year as a group.
Yes.
And And I thought, oh, but now they look healthy. They're looking good because Wada had come back and pitched quite well in September. And Vandenberg appeared, he said he was healthy. And so I took that and I thought, well, and Duckett is back and Ishikawa is good and Senga's just fabulous. So I thought, you know, this is going to be the top, this could probably be the top rotation in the postseason. And you know what? They pitched exactly like they did during the season. The starting rotation was lousy. The starting pitchers were basically mediocre, and the bullpen was perfect. I mean, almost perfect. And basically, there was no reason for the Hawks starters to stay out there past four innings. except for point of pride.
Can I try to get the win?
Yeah, exactly. Probably those guys were, most of those guys were on a three-inning leash. Three innings all you got. And then you're going to have to show us something to stay in there after three because we don't need your butt.
Hashtag high heat.
So, yeah, congratulations to the Hawks. They are moving on. This was their first time in 2 years, 17th time overall that they're going to the Japan Series. So they did a good job and a good season for the Eagles. And it was the first time that skipper Masataka Nashida didn't take his team from last place, his new team,
mm-hmm.
from last place to first place and wasn't able to get this team into the Japan Series. Still, the owner... Hiroshi Mikitani tweeted out, or at least I saw in a yep. story that he tweeted out that they want to keep Nashida on to manage the team next year as well. So all's well that ends not so well. But I thought it was a good season for the Eagles. I thought they were very impressive, and I'm looking forward to having them torment me in terms of who I have to try to predict is going to win the Pacific League next year. Because they're going to do that. So, quickly, try to predict which team is going to go through in the Central League to face the Hawks. And, I'm going to be rooting for the Bay Stars, but I'm just going to say the Carp somehow, some way, come out of this thing with their pennant and a trip to the Japan Series.
That's probably accurate.
But I'm rooting for Ram.
I mean... yeah, well, I think the fact that they only have to tie is good because they might lose a game. I mean, they might not be able to play a game, but I still don't like... And also, you have to think if you're the Bay Stars, or let's put it this way, if you're a Carp fan, you have to like the idea that after playing two games fairly poorly, that having a couple of days off is probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Now, just to give backup John's assertion that Shota Takeda has been a good postseason pitcher for the Hawks. He's 4-4 with two complete games in the postseason. Two complete games. That's pretty impressive. 2.20 ERA. But having said that, he allowed 14 unearned runs. he allowed 28 runs and 14 earned runs. So that ERA is pretty bizarre. It looks like a 4-4 pitcher. So yeah. Interesting. Not allowing hits, but allowing lots of runs. So interesting. So yeah, yes and maybe no. I'm not sold yet. But anyway, he's had some good games.
Okay, so who you got? Who are you gonna pick?
Who am I going to pick? I'm going to pick the Bay Stars because it's just too weird. You know, it's too weird and too cool.
Okay. All right. Well,
my colleague won't have to travel to Hiroshima next week.
Yeah, we will either have one game in by the time we record the next show, or we might have two games in depending on how I bounce back from this Sunday's recording session. Let's go to fielding questions. All right, Coaster Freak, our buddy Coaster Freak, who, you know, we really got to say thanks to you. All year long, you provided a lot of really interesting and insightful questions, and we really appreciate it. So thank you very much. He says, this week, who are some of the young prospects in the upcoming draft who are not named Kotaro Kiyomiya? Hashtag high heat.
Wow. It's hard. You know, I know more. I probably know more about the rugby top league than I do about, you know, draft candidates, even though I'm more of a baseball writer.
What did you say? Hug me from the top,
no,
please?
The rugby top league, you know, Japan's professional rugby league. I probably know more about that than I do about the draft about. Prospects. Yeah, okay, but I do. It's just that, I don't really follow the. I've just got too many other things to do on my plate to follow the kids, and sort of wait and see how they grow.
Yeah,
you know, as much as I love, you know, the person who should be answering this question is Deanna Rubin, because she's my guru when it comes to amateur ball players in Japan. And but unfortunately she's not with us today, so anyway I just pulled four names out of the hat that I recall people talking about.
I did just, the same thing.
I know. I'll bet you they're the same.
That's about it.
I'll bet they're the same ones too, certainly. Shosei Nakamura was the first one who came to mind. He's a right-handed hitting catcher for Hiroshima Kuryo High School.
He had a big
tournament at Koshien this year.
And he's a really, really athletic guy. And I assume, I'm just assuming that he was not going to be a pick catcher once they get him into the pro ranks. I think they're going to make him an outfielder.
Could be, yeah. The next is a third baseman, another high school player. It's really weird.
This is going to be a strange
draft. Isanori
Yasuda?
Yep.
This is
a weird draft because when's the last time that three position players were like among the top 12 draft picks?
Oh, well, I don't have a position player for my next.
No, I'm saying no, but I'm saying. But
oh,
including
you're counting
Kiyomiya.
Right.
So we've got a third baseman, a first baseman, and a catcher. And I'm thinking how rare that is, because Japan essentially, if you've got 12 first-round draft choices, I think last year you might have had three first-round picks who weren't pitchers, but pretty much 10, it's usually 10, and we're only talking five. Hisanori Yasuda, Shosei Nakamura, and Kotaro Kiyomiya, those three are all going to go in the first round. The interesting
right,
one
Yasuda,
is...
Yasuda has 65 homers I looked up. Yeah, and he's got some power, so...
he's a left-handed hitter, and he's another kid who, out of Riseisha, which produced Tetsuto Yamada and Takahiro Okada.
Okay.
Next two, I have our pitchers, who are both lefties, very hard-throwing lefties. Daiki Tajima from JR East.
Okay, I don't have here.
And Katsuki Azuma, a left-hander from Kyoto's Ritsumeikan University. Those are the guys I brought up.
Okay, and I got a high school pitcher named Sho Ishikawa.
Who
tops out at 151 kilometers.
Low 90s, yeah.
Yeah, about 94 in high school. So that's pretty good. And then an outfielder named Shu Masuda. So, those are the guys I think we will probably hear, especially in the first round when other teams have to scramble and try to pick somebody else after they miss out on Kiyomiya. What do you think? How many teams do you think are going to try to grab Kiyomiya? This is Thursday. It's coming up here.
Probably about five or six.
You think it'll end up only being five or six, not eight?
Yeah, no, well, because I think people think the chances of, you know, giving up on Nakamura, who's really not considered much less of a talent, plus with more defensive upside. Kiyomiya is awfully athletic for a guy of his, you know, a really powerful build.
Yeah,
he really runs really well. But I don't expect him to hold his
in that race.
I would too, but I've been shocked how fast he runs. But he's also, you know, probably not going to be able to maintain the speed as much.
I was going to say, yeah, until he gets to be 29, then.
Yeah, so not so late, yeah. But anyway, interesting. But I think, yeah, because Nakamura's not far behind, and I know Yasuda's thought well of by a number of teams, I think because of that combination, they're all being really powerful high school hitters. I wouldn't think more than five teams will go for Kiyomiya. but I'm sure the Tigers will, since he's expressed a desire to want to play for the Tigers.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun watch on Thursday. That's for sure.
That will be interesting. But whenever I think about the draft, I think about the guys who were, you know, alternate picks because the teams didn't get the guys they wanted.
Right.
And they had to settle. They had to settle for second best, or in the case of the Yakult Swallows, third best. They had to get their third pick in the first round was Tetsuto Yamada, after they failed to get Yuki Saito and I believe and at first they failed to get Yuki Saito, and then they failed to get Takahiro Shiomi.
Wow.
And they ended up with a consolation pick.
Wow.
And Hayato Sakamoto was also a first round consolation pick.
Okay. So. All right, yeah, it's going to be a fun watch. So what I want you guys to do is once the Japan Series matchup is set, hopefully sooner than later, I'd like to have you guys email or Twitter, hit us up on Twitter and just let us know who you have, how many games, your prediction for the Japan Series, and we will do the same on Twitter. Thanks a lot, Coaster Freak. We appreciate it. Anyone else with a question? Send it to yakyujohn@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter @JBWPodcast with the hashtag #HighHeat, or leave us a note on the Facebook page. We will talk to you next week. Enjoy your postseason.
See you in Fukuoka, baby.